invite you to turn with me now to a psalm that is very familiar to you, extremely familiar to you, and that is Psalm 23. My prayer is in the next several weeks that God will help us to take this song that is so familiar to us that perhaps we haven't noticed what we should in it and make it very real to us, and actually that His Word and His Spirit would work together to transform our view of God and ourselves as a result of spending time in this piece of very valuable Bible real estate. Let us read now. We're going to just focus on one verse this morning, and here it is. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we can understand it and then we can dig into it and understand it even better. Lord, we thank You that Your Word not only informs us, but that Your Word, when working together with Your Spirit, transforms us, transforms the way we see You, the way we see ourselves, and the way we see life itself. Lord, we pray we'd be transformed by Your Word this day, even as we approach the table of the Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The magazine is called Billboard Magazine, and it is a magazine that radio stations, music stores, music channels, websites read cover to cover every week because it not only reviews the latest songs, but it gives us charts. Charts for different kinds of music, rock, pop, urban, soul, country, contemporary, Christian. And these charts are often called the Hot 100 Album or Singles Charts. And everyone wants to have a song that is number one on the charts. Now, the only thing that's better than a number one song is a song that is number one with a bullet. You see, if you're number one with a bullet, your song is not only popular, but the song is showing no signs of going away anytime soon. It could even become a classic in the future. In the songbook of the church, if there was a song that you could say is number one with a bullet, it would be the 23rd Psalm. It is indeed the most read, repeated, loved song in all the songbook of the church. But ask yourself this morning, what is the appeal of Psalm 23? Is it simply because it's sentimental, it's read at weddings and funerals and hospitals and battlefields? Or is there something about this psalm that is striking an even deeper chord in our hearts? Well, maybe the appeal of this psalm is that it speaks not of something, but of someone. The subject of this song is the shepherd. And this is an awesome song. I do not use that in a trite way because it is about the shepherd. Now, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper this morning, let's meet the shepherd. There's some introductory remarks here in verse 1. As a matter of fact, verse 1 reveals to us no less than three identifying marks of the shepherd of God's people, the shepherd of God's flock. Understand, in John chapter 10, Jesus identifies Himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13, 20, Jesus is referred to as that great shepherd of the sheep. So let's invest a little time this morning to get to know the shepherd. Notice with me in the first place, the first identifying mark of the shepherd we find here in verse 1 is this. The shepherd is our personal shepherd. Notice how the psalm begins with the term the Lord in small caps. Now that is the covenant title for God. And we know what that title stands for. But what we need to see is that when we refer to the Lord here as just the Lord, we actually lose something. And what we lose is this. We lose the personal nature of the person who is our shepherd. The word here is translated Yahweh. Y-A-H-W-E-H. Y-A-H-W-E-H. Yahweh. That's His name. It's the actual word that is used here in verse 1. It's up close and personal. The Lord is a title, but it's a little more abstract It's a little more distant. Let me explain what I mean. Old Testament scholar and preacher extraordinaire Dale Ralph Davis, who is going to be at the men's Mid-South rally at First Pres next weekend, next Friday, he explains the difference in this way with something from his own life, and I'm quoting. He said, "One may sometimes be around a group of, in parentheses, perhaps older men, and hear one of the men refer to his wife this way. The wife doesn't eat broccoli. The wife went to the beauty parlor today. Or can you believe it? The wife handed me a vacuum cleaner and asked me if I knew how to work it." Now, a man can talk in that way, and folks know about whom to whom that man is referring, but the man is using a title. And using a title for his beloved spouse seems a bit cold, seems a bit detached. You know, the wife this, the wife that. It works. Dr. Davis says, "I would never call my wife the wife. I call her Barbara." Why? Because Barbara is her name. And Barbara is much more personal than the wife. You see, the first time God names himself in Scripture, in Exodus 3, verses 12 through 15, the name he uses is Yahweh. And Yahweh is theological shorthand for "I will be personally present with my people. I will be there for them. I will personally be their God." See, our great shepherd Jesus is not some thing. He's not abstract. He's not the Jesus. Jesus is the name of a person. Jesus is the person who, because of his grace alone, promises to be personally present with you no matter where you are in your life's journey. See, the shepherd is personal, and he knows his sheep by name. Think about that for a moment. As far as Jesus is concerned, you're not a number. You're a person. You have a name. As a matter of fact, there's this incredible verse in Isaiah 49:16 that says that Yahweh has engraved your name. He has tattooed your name on the palms of his hand. Think about that. Your name, your personal name, tattooed, engraved on the palms of his hands. This morning, when you receive communion with your hands, remember this. Jesus knows you on a personal, intimate level. Jesus knows you better than you know you. And Jesus lived and died, not for you in the abstract, but personally for you. You are, please understand this, you are known. You are loved by your shepherd. And because God has set his love on you in Jesus Christ, there is absolutely nothing you can ever do to make God unlove you. Nothing at all. Lord's Supper is your Valentine from the shepherd. When you take communion, please make it personal, because communion is personal. Second identifying mark of the shepherd is this. Not only is he a personal shepherd, but notice, secondly, our shepherd is an exclusive shepherd. Notice what he says. He begins, "Yahweh is my shepherd." In other words, you could translate it this way, "Yahweh and no one else is my shepherd." Now, remember, the psalmist is living in days when in the ancient Middle East, deities were prayed to, they were revered, they were worshipped, using shepherd imagery. Mesopotamian deity Shamash was referred to as a shepherd. So is the Babylonian sun god Marduk. What the psalmist is doing is this. He says, "I'll have none of that." Right here in the first line of the psalm, the psalmist plants his feet, sticks out his chin, and confesses his faith in the one living and true shepherd. This psalmist flat out denies politically correct pluralism. Yahweh alone is my shepherd, and no one else. There is no other shepherd. Now, living in this country, we must respect everyone's right to embrace whatever religion they want to embrace. But we also need to make sure that we boldly stand with the shepherd. Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, in John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Please understand, the great shepherd of the sheep did not live and die to give you 100+ different ways to stand before God without fault and with great joy. There's only one way, only one true shepherd. And no matter how unpopular it may make you, we stand with Jesus, we stand for Jesus, we confess Christ alone. Jesus is the only shepherd who leads us home. All other shepherds are false shepherds. They lead us astray. Matter of fact, in the words to the communion we're about to celebrate in just a few moments, in 1 Corinthians 11, we're even told by Paul that the Lord's Supper is an exclusive proclamation of who we are trusting in. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, not the blood of a Jesus, not one Jesus among hundreds of other Jesuses. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, singular, blood and righteousness." He's personal. He's exclusive. The third identifying mark of the shepherd is this from verse 1. And that's this: the shepherd is our providing shepherd. Our providing shepherd. The sense here is this: because Yahweh is my shepherd, I will never lack anything. See, because I have this confident confession in the one true shepherd, I know he's going to provide. You know, some of your parents put money in a fund and promised to pay for 4 years of college. If you're one of those fortunate people, you can go through college with confidence. Your college is paid for, but you can only go through college that way because someone else paid for your college. For instance, we go through life, we have confidence. When it comes to our greatest need, that is the need to be acceptable to God, the need to be accepted by God, what it costs for us to be accepted by God was paid in full on the cross by the shepherd. Total cost, paid in full, tetelestai. The debt has been paid in full. You know what you need this morning? You need forgiveness. You know what else you need? You need righteousness. You don't have either one. Without this righteousness, without this forgiveness, you have nothing. The equation that is your life, you can add up all the assets you have, and if you take away Jesus, you have a big fat zero. See, Jesus gives you himself. Think about that for a moment. Doesn't give you something abstract. He gives you himself, his life, his death. You have everything you need from the cross, where the great shepherd of the sheep laid down his very life for you. But you know, there's even more. Let me tell you what Psalm 23 is. Psalm 23 is a full explanation of Romans 8:32. Let me read that to you. Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" You know what you have here? You have something called the argument from the greater to the lesser. And that is, since God has already given you Christ, since he has provided for the greatest need that you have through the life and death of Jesus Christ, you can take it to the bank. Because he's given you the greatest gift, he will also give you all things you need. Everything you need to be and to do what you need to be and do is given. As a matter of fact, I would suggest to you this morning that you set Psalm 23 and Romans 8:32 together. And it comes out like this: What you need, God will provide. How do we know? Because God has already provided Jesus. And you see, all the provisions we're going to study in Psalm 23, they flow from the cross of Christ. I came across a great quote I want to share with you this week, and that's this. Grace always flows downward. Always. It flows downhill. Grace begins at the cross. The cross rooted in the soil of eternity. And grace flows downhill and floods our lives. This morning, as we gather at the table, let's celebrate our shepherd. Let's celebrate our personal, our exclusive, and our providing shepherd. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the person of Jesus Christ and what he has provided. Lord, help us to realize what we need can only be provided by the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to see the cross as the fountain from which all blessings flow. Lord, everything we need in this life and the life to come is provided by grace alone and Jesus, the great and only shepherd of his sheep. Lord, help us to realize this day and in our lives this week that your grace flows downhill and floods our lives. Lord, help us to celebrate the shepherd. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.